Hi. Good morning. My name is Andres Guevara. My bar number is 30664. I'm alternate defense counsel appointed on behalf of Ms. Jennifer Harris in this case. And with the court's indulgence, I know that my brief had laid out two different arguments in different order. With the court's indulgence, if I may focus on the second one, which is, for lack of a better way of describing it, perhaps the Indiana versus Edwards argument, which is about mental competency. As the court's well aware, during the trial court, there was at least one opportunity in the 2008 case for a mental competency evaluation done of Ms. Jennifer Harris. She ended up going pro se. And although there was an Arguello advisement, our argument is that the trial court judge didn't take into consideration the decision by the Supreme Court in Indiana versus Edwards as to whether or not he had the right to prevent Ms. Harris from proceeding pro se on issues of mental competency and whether or not she would be able to represent herself at trial. Very briefly, Ms. Harris was charged for a 2003 incident. She had an original trial in which she was convicted in 2004. That conviction was overturned on a separate issue. She had been represented by counsel during the trial. And then on the retrial, she was again convicted, but this time she had gone pro se. As the brief notes, there were instances both in the original case in the 2004 sentencings and in 2008 that raised issues such that both the trial court, the DA, in fact, and her attorney thought that a competency evaluation should have been done. I understand that there's a recent case by a different division, which is the Wilson case, which deals with this same issue from a different procedural posture. Because that case is recent, I believe one of the judges on the panel was involved in that decision. I wanted to address it up front in this. This particular case comes on a direct appeal as opposed to Wilson. And in the Wilson case, a different division ruled that there is no heightened degree of competency required for someone to go to trial as opposed to actually proceed at any particular point, that's not what Edwards requires. My reading of Edwards, the Supreme Court's decision, is that while the test for mental competency can still be viewed as the Dusky test, can someone still help out and understand what's going on, that the Supreme Court is concerned that the different requirements for someone to conduct themselves at trial are such that we have to be sure that judges understand that they can prohibit someone if they're concerned that their mental competency isn't sufficient for them to conduct themselves at the trial posture.
Mr. Guevara, in Indiana versus Edwards, did it not say it's up to the states to make that determination?
It does. It gives the states that opportunity. Excuse me. Yes, it does. And in fact, the language is very clear. The justices do not create a bright line rule. In fact, refuse to do that as to how states should do that. I think they have some concerns that they raise there. Part of it is in that context where he refuses to do a bright line rule. Justice Breyer, who writes the opinion, points out that we're not dealing with a large number of cases that would ever get to the point where an Edwards analysis would have to be done. And of those, because of fewer, not that many cases that go pro se, but of those, mental competency would only be involved in a small percentage of those. So yes, the Supreme Court does permit states to make that analysis.
Counsel, excuse me, what would you like us to do? If we were to remand this, what would we do? What would be the standard that we would tell the trial court that it should follow?
Well, I think the trial court should follow, first of all, make a decision, an analysis that is more than just the Arguello type of analysis, which is, does someone understand what's going on here? That would seem more like the Godinez case that cited by both parties in their briefs, which is, it's one thing for people to understand a case sufficient enough to plead, but it's another different thing to be able to figure out how to do the trial. I think the standard is, first of all, the trial court would have to figure out whether or not it made a decision understanding that it didn't have to make that decision, that the Edwards case clearly says that the state court trial judge doesn't have to step back and automatically allow a defendant who it feels may not be able to conduct itself at trial do that.
Let's talk about whether she was capable of conducting the trial, because the trial court made some findings, didn't it, that she was competent, that she presented the case well, that she knew what she was doing. Doesn't that undercut your argument that the trial court didn't even know that it could force counsel on her?
I don't know that it relates to that specifically. There are definitely moments in the transcript in which the trial court judge points out that she conducted herself well, she cross-examined witnesses well. I think there's one point in which the trial court mentioned that she did a better cross-examination of a witness than some other private attorneys. So there are those moments in which that happened. The problem with the issue of where we are right now is that those are isolated pockets. They may relate to the conduct as a whole, it may not. And so we're asking that the case be remanded for the trial court to make the decision, having seen Ms. Harris, but also having dealt with her at prior stages, because there are some concerns that related to the trial court even allowing her to go pro se on an earlier occasion, and giving that trial court an opportunity to say, would the Edwards decision have changed my mind? And then perhaps permit Ms. Harris an opportunity to provide evidence or information that related to whether or not her competency was consistent, was fleeting, whether there were moments in which she may have appeared to know what she was doing, but in actuality didn't.
How are we to decide, for example, when the competency determination becomes binding? Because you have a competency determination here. The trial court finds her competent. Counsel agreed. Defense counsel agreed she was competent when that determination came back, correct?
He did, yes.
All right. So you've got a determination at that point that she's competent to proceed. And you've got the trial court making findings during trial, giving her an extensive Arguello advisement, going over it inch by inch, it seems to me. It's 30 or 40 pages in the transcript. The court says she's capable of making this determination. I find it's knowing, voluntary, and intelligent. So are you saying that at some point, maybe day four of the trial, day three of the trial, when she makes an objection that just seems from outer space, we've got to redetermine that? I mean, what's the trial court going to do here that it didn't already do?
Right. I think it can happen at least at the moment in which she decides to go pro se. At the time in which her attorney agrees with the competency evaluation, she's represented. And so the analysis there is very much that Dusky type of analysis. Is she competent to help her attorney? And that's one level that the Supreme Court talks about. Once she decides to go pro se, which actually happens during the trial itself, I believe it's maybe the second day of the trial, where she actually goes, then the decision is, well, wait a minute, can you do this on your own? Because it's one thing to be able to sit there and have a level of competency to be able to help your attorney, but now you have to actually do the cross-examinations, the witnesses, and all the other parts of the case, which are difficult or different. And at that point, that's where my reading of Edwards, that's when the trial judge has to say, wait a minute, this is different, let me take a different approach. And in fact,
what would the different approach look like?
It might have included, like we've seen in some of the other jurisdictional cases, some of the cases from other jurisdictions, the trial court saying, I understand that it's difficult to do this on your own. I'm going to make an analysis as to whether or not you can do a trial on your own, as opposed to say you could have been your own attorney for purposes of a plea or some other stage of the proceeding. It might have been a small evidentiary hearing outside of the presence of the jury. It might not have looked substantially any different than what had happened, but the trial court, we need to make sure the trial court understands and had the option of denying her right to proceed pursuant to Edwards. One of the things with the long time that the trial court had with the Arguello advisement, and I agree, I counted the number of pages, it's over 30 pages in which the Arguello advisement is presented to Ms. Jennifer Harris. It may have been, and we don't know, whether the trial court was concerned, whether he had the option, and perhaps was going over it over and over again to make sure she hadn't changed her mind. Perhaps the trial court would have reached a different conclusion if it knew it could have, if it knew that it could have said, well, wait a minute, I'm going to deny you this. I think Edwards talks about that. It mentions that there is a gray area above Dusky where there may be a concern about people being able to proceed on their own. And state courts can State court judges can deny someone their constitutional right to proceed pro se on this particular.
That's not what. We don't have the trial court denying Ms. Harris the right to represent herself and saying, you must have counsel.
But the trial court could have if it had reached a conclusion that she wasn't capable of being her own trial judge.
Don't we have the court in Edwards saying that Godinez sets the standard for determination of competency both to assist counsel and to proceed representing oneself? It's the same test?
It may be the same test. I read Edwards as saying that it's much more difficult to be your own attorney. And I do read it differently than I know the different divisions, court's decision in Wilson reads it. I do read it as having a higher standard than the typical standard that's applied there because of the fact that it's much more difficult to proceed on your own at trial. And I believe that Justice Breyer mentions the language of higher standard in its opinion. So I think that that's the context in which we're making that particular argument, that it is more than just whether or not someone's competent to understand the charges. And I think that's what the Edwards court is discussing. I see.
Well, Mr. Guevara, the court did not formally make the inquiry or state that it was making the inquiry. But on the record, doesn't it appear that the court was engaging in the inquiry by making certain findings of fact throughout the trial, stating whether she was competent to proceed on her own?
I think that there may have been areas there where it may have appeared that that was going on. I think there were that, again, we don't know whether that's the same sort of Edwards type of analysis here. And I don't know, again, whether the trial court knew what I'm discussing, whether it could have declined that option for her to proceed. There were definitely concerns that all parties, including the trial court, raised several times about her ability to proceed, both before and after the trial. Before and during the trial, there were some issues that were raised up in terms of that. I think that the safest approach is to remand it for the trial court to make that decision as to whether or not the Edwards case would have changed its decision. If there's evidence that can be presented at that point, then I think that we would be able to develop a record one way or the other as to whether or not Ms. Harris was, in fact, competent to proceed at the trial as her own counsel. I see that I have about 2 minutes left. With the court's permission, I'd like to reserve that for rebuttal. Is there any questions? Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Jennifer Berman. I represent the people in this matter, and my registration number is 35882. It appears to me that we're pretty much all on the same page in terms of what the law is, in terms of what the competency standard is, and that is still the standard set forth in Godinez that follows the Dusky standard for competency to stand trial. If the court would like, I could discuss that issue, but I think the real question before this court is a two-part question, whether remand is even an appropriate consideration in these situations, and secondly, if appropriate, whether it would be the proper thing to do in this case. My answer is no to both questions. I don't believe that remand is an appropriate consideration. First of all, Edwards, there's no language in Edwards anywhere talking about remand for trial courts to make this determination. Edwards simply sets forth that if the state on its own determines that perhaps a higher standard of competency is necessary, then it is free to do that. But it by no means compels states to remand the case. Secondly, the trial court determined that the defendant waived counsel in September of 2008. Edwards came out in March of 2008, so presumably the trial court was aware of Edwards. And I think that when you look at the record, there are some indications that it perhaps had Edwards in mind when it was making its findings on the defendant's right to represent herself. Now, even if were remand appropriate, there are a number of reasons why it would not be necessary in this case. First of all, we can look at the lengthy and thorough Arguello advisement given to the defendant. It spanned 37 pages. It went over every single element of the dangers and disadvantages of going pro se. And during the advisement, the defendant told the trial court that she was not under the influence of any drugs, alcohol, or medication that would affect her decision. She understood the trial proceedings thus far. And this advisement took place on the second day of trial. She'd already been through one day of trial, not to mention the fact that she had already been through trial in this case once before. She stated she was thinking clearly that day and that she wasn't confused about anything that had been said.
Ms. Berman, the fact that the defendant's competency was questioned previously, and because we are discussing the competency of the defendant, would the defendant's answers to these questions be in question if indeed the defendant were not competent?
Well, that's a very different record than we have here. I suppose that that could be the case. Here we have that defense counsel maybe a month before trial asked for a competency hearing. My understanding is the trial court only gave it reluctantly. The trial court was not necessarily on board believing that there really was a competency issue, but just to be safe, the trial court ordered a competency evaluation, and the evaluation determined that she had no mental disease or defect that would affect her ability to stand trial. So in this case, we just don't have that issue. If that were more of an issue, then perhaps. But here, everything indicates that she was competent to stand trial, she was competent to waive counsel, and she was even very competent, very effective at representing herself at trial, which is my next point, that she represented herself extremely well. She raised sophisticated objections. I believe four of them were granted sustained by the trial court. She argued, I think, two motions for mistrial. One of them, although the court did not grant a mistrial, it agreed with her that there was a discovery violation that she had pointed out. And the court made several comments about her effectiveness, including at sentencing stating, she did a good job. I was frankly impressed. At least one of her cross-examinations was better than some of the cross-examinations I see lawyers do. So she represented herself well. And I think that's a relevant consideration for this court in determining whether or not to remand for a competency, whether to remand for the court to consider whether she was competent under Edwards. And further, the trial court made several findings at the time that it considered her request to proceed pro se that are relevant here, and that even if the court is not specifically saying, under Edwards, I find you competent, I think implicitly we can find that from what the court said, because the court indicated that the defendant appeared calm, she appeared to be thinking clearly, she was smart, she understood what she was doing, and she was competent. The trial court specifically found at the time that she was competent. The next day, the court agreed with the prosecutor, there is absolutely no current issue regarding competency. And given all of those facts, there's really nothing for this court to remand for, even if Edwards in some way authorized such a remand.
If the court were to say, under Edwards, I find you competent, what findings would a court need to be making?
I don't know. I don't think Edwards sets forth anything. There's no inquiry that it presents that trial courts should be asking. I think Edwards is very deferential to the states. Edwards simply says, if you as the state want to set forth a higher standard of competency, you're free to do that. You're free to create that on your own. But as it stands, the federal constitutional minimum requirement is that you're competent to stand trial. That alone means you're competent to waive counsel. We're not going to interfere with that, but if you want to set something higher, you're free to do so. So I don't think there's any indication out there of what inquiry the trial court should have asked. I think Arguello must get at it, essentially. Arguello gets at whether you're knowingly and voluntarily waiving counsel. Arguello necessarily gets at whether you understand what's going on. Do you understand the charges? Do you understand the potential penalties? Do you understand how dangerous this is for you to do this on your own? I think that Arguello pretty much gets at it. If the court has no more questions on this, I would ask that you affirm the defendant's convictions. Thank you.
Thank you. Very briefly, since I have about 2 minutes, I think I may have mentioned, I believe my reading of Edwards is that there is a different level of competency for someone to proceed at the trial.
What is it? That's the problem I'm having, is what is the standard that you, if you're asking us on behalf of this state of Colorado to accept Edwards' invitation to have a higher standard for a person representing themselves pro se, what is that standard?
I think the standard, I don't know that the Supreme Court in Edwards laid out what that standard was and may have avoided doing that specifically. However, at a minimum, a trial court must decide whether or not, must have some finding in the record as to whether or not the differences that are related to representing yourself at trial are going to be able to be met by a particular defendant's level of competency. And so, for example, the Arguello analysis is really much about whether or not the defendant claims to know what's going on. But of course, if the defendant's incompetent, that doesn't solve the issue, obviously.
This defendant was not incompetent.
Well, it wasn't incompetent for purposes of proceeding pro se.
Correct.
Again, my analysis is that level is different for proceeding at trial as your own attorney. So the issue of competency for one part doesn't get you to the secondary part, which is whether or not you can represent yourself. So at some point, then, I think the trial court must make some kind of determination as to whether or not, and it may be similar in the way it will look to what we currently have, but some kind of determination that this person, a recognition that under Edwards it's different at trial, it's harder at trial, and that this person's somehow going to be able to match that. The report from the hospital just indicates, as we all know, that whether or not this person's able to help their attorney. That's part of what the Edwards court is talking about. I see that my time is up, so I don't know if there's any further questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you both for your arguments this morning. The case will stand submitted. We will get you a written opinion in course.